Chapter 6, Healthy Glow. It was Thirsty Thursday. All of their other drunk nights revolved and switched and swapped based on their academic schedule, though probably not with as much specificity as was appropriate, and it had become a bit of a spiteful tradition to drink as much as humanly possible the night before practical exams. But Thirsty Thursday was a constant, a holy staple in the relentless five-day misery of their lives, something to look forward to and recover from. So Aizawa opened the door to the bar clumsily with his left side to avoid aggravating his pulled shoulder. It was the result of something stupid he'd done, trying to teach Shinso, and was further frustrated by the way the kid fretted over him and refused to continue training until he saw Recovery Girl. He hadn't had the time that day, but tomorrow, yes. Aizawa saw Namori and Hizashi parked at their favorite place at the bar and raised a hand, wincing. "Well, look at you, Mr. Busybody," Namori gushed as he approached, waving him to the empty seat beside Mike. "Schedule so full, you're cheating on Thirsty Thursday." "Made it as soon as I could," he said dutifully, slinging his bag over the seat. "Shota, my man!" Mike trumpeted, slapping his hands. "A beer for the hero over here, please! Actually, we're ramping up for finals. Life isn't great. Better make it 3 beers. Aizawa murmured his thanks and rubbed his face once he was seated, sighing thickly. Namori looked at him fondly as he grabbed for the offered beer and set upon it like he hadn't had one in weeks, audibly glugging. "You look a little tired, but I can see you're doing well, my love." "I'm working hard and sleeping hard," Aizawa said with a shrug, after draining half his beer in the space of 2 seconds. "And drinking hard," Mike said under his voice. Stunned, Aizawa shot him a look and tipped his glass with a smirk. "No time to think. It's a good balance." "Yeah, thinking can really suck sometimes," Mike admitted. Then, on the subject, raised his hand. "Bartender, make that a full carafe of your best brew. We've got a lot of unspecified emotions to drown, if you'd be so kind." "Yeah, thanks."
"I'm surprised to see you training that general studies kid," Namori began, and Aizawa gave her a look that seemed to say, "Yeah, me too. But, you know, it looks like it's going well."
"It's going," he admitted hoarsely. His shoulder, as if on request, throbbed.
"Do you need any help?"
"Oh, believe me, he does."
Mike sighed as obnoxiously as he could, running a hand along the upward sweep of his meticulously gelled hair.
"But of course he asks me, the only one of his only two friends with a legitimate profession outside of UA.
"If I thought Namori's particular skill set would help him out, I would have asked," Aizawa said, so incredibly tired. "But he has a voice quirk, and the closest Shinso comes to magically putting people to sleep is his incessant talking." "Oh no, is it another Kirishima?"
Namori laughed. Beside her, Mike was clearly heretically flipping through his mental list of 1A trying to get the reference.
"No, he just talks at me all the time about weird shit."
"And you haven't punted him yet?"
Mike demanded, aghast. Aizawa shot him a look. His friend knew intimately how much Aizawa detested endless chatter, and, inconveniently, how he was the only one allowed to chatter like that and not get got.
Well, when you think about it..."
Namori tilted her head, picturesque as always. She smoothed her dark hair over her shoulder, glossy red nails clicking softly.
"If this is the kid from the tournament, considering his quirk, maybe this is the first time he's been given free rein to actually talk and express himself, without worrying about other people freaking out or suspecting him of using his quirk for untoward things. You're probably doing something really good for his self-esteem just by listening, Shota.
Oh, shut up. Aizawa grumbled, thoroughly sick of everyone having such a good idea of what was going on in his life.
The kid is such a wet blanket, though, Mike whined, flopping back in his seat. He's no fun at all. Not nearly good enough of an audience to keep things interesting. He doesn't even get excited or throw his hands up.
You're teaching him, not auditioning for him, Aizawa growled, halfway through beer number two. Not everything is about you.
But I like it when it is.
Hizashi doubled down on the wine, and their glasses rattled on the bar. Midnight put a finger in her ear, glaring, and Mike bit his lip, rebooted, then continued at a softer, infinitely more mopey pitch.
This is my time off that you're so rudely wrangling. I should be able to enjoy it.
You'd be spending it on the net rewatching your own interviews.
Oh, look who's talking, Mr. Cat Videos on Repeat. Mr. Knows the Name of Every Internet Cat.
Mike yelped in retaliation, covering his mouth when Midnight raised an eyebrow and a hand in warning. He clammed up with visible effort, simmering with resentment.
I don't dally with muffins and yo-yo anymore, you should know, Aizawa said, playing aloof. He smirked. It would be unfaithful to Himawari.
Midnight and Mike traded a look. A baffled, curious look that he effortlessly ignored. He had beer to drink. A lot of it.
Oh, that's right. I still haven't met this new kitty cat of yours, Nemuri exclaimed, clapping her hands.
Mike made an angry noise, somewhere between a snort and a growl, and Aizawa immediately glared at him and whacked his empty glass down on the table, gesturing for a refill.
If you would just take your damn allergy medication like you were supposed to be doing since Academy, it wouldn't be a problem.
While Mike had been with him for a decade and a half, and Himawari a little short of 2 weeks, Aizawa's disdainful tone made it clear who had to change to fit the situation. Mike pouted and crossed his arms, fiddling with the millions of zippers on his jacket to diffuse the sting of betrayal.
What made you name her Himawari?
Nemuri asked curiously after a moment, stirring her drink. Aizawa averted his eyes.
Not a flowery name I would expect from you.
Well, look at her. He took a moment to pull out his phone and flip through his pictures. He settled on one of Himawari on his coffee table, tilting her head with nigh unbearable innocence, and showed it to them, saying gruffly, "She's yellow." Midnight looked at him like she didn't believe him in the slightest. Aizawa sighed loudly.
I'm not gonna name a cat fucking, I don't know, Insomnia or Gin or something. Wouldn't you, though?
Nemuri pressed, shrugging.
I mean, she's yellow, so why didn't you name her sleeping bag?
Shota chuckled hoarsely, looking at his phone for a little too long.
Guess my interests are pretty limited.
Hey, who's that? In the process of absently scrolling through more photos, Aizawa jerked his phone away from the sudden question and his best friend. Unfortunately, Mike's long fingers tricked him, poking him in the armpit, his only weak spot, and flicking the phone up and out of his hands as he was disarmed. The radio hero squinted at the new picture and then turned it around so everyone could see, pointing at a slim brown business shoe and a droopy sock. Aizawa's brain promptly floundered in a rush of average, uncomprehending panic.
That's not your shoe,
his stupid best friend said plaintively, like he was cheating on him. Then Midnight inadvertently relieved him from a full-on lie by taking the phone from Mike and giving it a once-over, even boldly flipping through a few more photos of the sequence. It was literally just pictures of Himawari frolicking with the new toy Toshinori had brought for her. But Aizawa had been sloppy enough to get some of the other man's shoes and even pant leg in the shots. Who would pay attention to a snippet of ugly yellow pinstripe suit when Hima Wadi was clearly center stage here?
It better not be your shoe. Those are like 10 years out of fashion.
She harumphed, looking over at him.
Did you have All Might over to your place for another grading marathon?
Aizawa managed with a nod, hiding the chill of the near miss in his beer. Bored, Namori handed his phone back to him, like it was a disappointing romance novel with no smut. And Aizawa immediately shut it off and stuck it in his back pocket. He thanked his lucky stars that he wasn't the type to take pictures. Other kinds of pictures.
Anyway, you say your interests are limited, but they sure haven't been lately.
She chuckled, not to be dissuaded from her agenda.
I've seen you eating strange things and behaving in strange ways.
Yeah, like, what's with that lunchbox from the other day with the yakisoba? And you wouldn't even share!
I told you the spice would have killed you.
Aizawa snapped in rising frustration, not liking the way this was going. Mike continued undeterred, brow knitting in deep thought.
It's all a little weird, you not living on those juice boxes anymore and sleeping in your bed more than your sleeping bag. It's kind of like someone else named your cat, too.
Or... Then, like a lightning strike, the two most wonderful and horrible people in Aizawa Shota's very small life looked at each other and clasped hands, screaming,
"Or there's someone else!"
Aizawa closed his eyes and breathed deeply. Fuck.
Oh, Shota, tell me. It's tell time.
Nemori shrieked through her teeth, downright terrifying in her enthusiasm. Aizawa raised a hand, but then Mike slapped him on the back and wrangled him by the very painful shoulders, crowing,
"You can't hide that sparkle in your otherwise dead eyes. You're getting some!"
Then he leaned in, super-powered voice strained to the voice of crackling.
"Where? When? How? Who is your supplier? Can we split it 50-50? Please, I'm begging you, man!"
Despite himself and his shoulder, feeling his beer a little more than he'd bargained, Aizawa smiled stupidly into his drink.
"Don't think he'd be your type, Mike."
Namely, a guy. Hizashi, however, gave a dramatic full-body shrug and slumped low in his seat, staring glassily up at the ceiling.
"Buddy, at this point, I'll just close my eyes and let my imagination carry me."
He moaned, hand to his head.
"I'm dying over here."
Now it was time for Aizawa and Namori to trade a look. Though he talked a big game, no surprise there. They both knew Mike was almost physiochemically incapable of simple hookups. He got too involved and overwhelmed too quickly, and the emotional whiplash was too much for him. He was a sweet, soft boy, and he couldn't be anything different. Even though Midnight had tried to sit him down several times and explain the value of simple but routine physical release in a profession such as theirs. In that particular scenario, Mike had started singing show tunes at full volume until she left him alone.
"You must like this guy to let him name your cat."
Midnight redirected the conversation in that svelte way she had, bright blue eyes gleaming with interest.
Aizawa snorted. They didn't know it was a bit more complicated than that.
The man rescued the cat, named the cat, and then rightfully surrendered both the cat and the name to him. She was just Himawari now. Every so often, he turned other names over in his head. Stupid, whimsical things like Butterscotch or Marigold. But somehow, she always looked at him with disdain right as he thought it. Himawari it was. Himawari it would be. Hime was his personal name for her. But he'd also, somehow, been arm-twisted into that one, considering what he'd had to work with. Mainly Toshinori's ridiculous and relentless poeticism.
"So you like him?"
Aizawa jolted back to earth, realizing he had oh-so-purposefully ignored the second half of her earlier statement. So she repeated it. Damn her. He He squinted into his drink. I like him, he said, then paused. To like, to regard someone with general respect and affection, or just not hate. Yeah, the definition fit. But he ran it again, just to be sure. Toshinori was more than just an ambivalent fuck. They were friends. Friendly, he corrected himself. Then he snorted again. Is it so absurd that I like someone I'm fucking? Yeah? Mike guffawed instantaneously, slapping the bar. Like science fiction, way out there absurd. Like impossible, but for divine intervention. Like, I wouldn't believe it if you weren't telling me right now. Or like, I sort of believe it, and I definitely want to believe it, but I also want to check if you're a body swap, or an alien, or a clone, or... Okay, Mike, Aizawa hissed. Beside him, Midnight rolled her eyes with a hand pressed dramatically to her chest. Honey, you reliably pick up the most attractive assholes in the world, so that you won't feel bad when you dump them like a load of bricks whenever they get impudent enough to ask you for an actual date or something. She raised her hands, peaceably, to calm any potential snitfit. Mildly offended that she expected a fucking snitfit at all, Aizawa just snorted again, shaking his head. And that's you and your needs, and that's fine. But who is he? No one, Aizawa said tiredly, after a moment. Just how had they even gotten to this discussion? This was Thirsty Thursday, not Thirsty Thursday. It's just an arrangement, nothing emotional. Yakisoba, spicy enough to kill, and it's no one? Nemori gawked. I bought that, thank you, he sniped, trying to remember if he'd been sloppy enough to leave the little cat napkin on that day. You're jumping to conclusions based on correlations, not causality, and I told you it's not emotional. Have you told him that? Mike demanded sharply, one finger aloft. Being the resident soft boy, he was always the one to call his best friend out on his potential coldness, or lack of regard for other humans in his life, especially ones he kissed. Aizawa appreciated it. Sort of. Sometimes. Not right now. We talked about it. He agreed. He shot Mike a superior look, but his fellow hero just shrugged with a faintly defeated air, like that wasn't really the point. All right, Midnight said reluctantly, settling down. Sounds like you found someone mature, at least. Mature. Aizawa tried not to laugh and failed. It was a little snicker, half hidden in his beer, but unmistakable. Midnight's jaw dropped. You found a daddy, she shrieked, standing up and promptly knocking over their dish of nuts as she smacked her hands down on the table and scared the shit out of the bartender. You went looking and got a goddamn daddy. I'm always right about these things. Have not and... God, definitely are not, Aizawa said, with a borderline fond sigh, waving his hand dismissively. At this point, Mike leapt in and caught one of Nemori's hands, expression pleading. Hey, hey, hey! No more questions, no more accusations. He gestured to Aizawa like he was a new, upgraded version of himself on display at a mall kiosk. Look at him! He's happy! He's sleeping! His hair is mostly all going in one direction! He's even outside in the sun doing his training with the kid! Combined with the new guy, it's a double helping of that good old vitamin D! Aizawa laughed into his drink, short and sharp. A beat, and knocking his glasses down his nose, Mike shared a thrilled look of disbelief with Midnight. He laughed at a joke, a dick joke at that. Their boy was feeling silly, even downright sassy. That was enough to carry the threesome for the rest of the night, as they abandoned the interrogation and simply enjoyed Aizawa's enjoyment and partook in a side of him that didn't see the light very much. It was rare that he was relaxed or energetic enough, in turns, to truly play with them. While they wouldn't trade their usual grumpy cat for anyone else, it was still fun. More fun still was figuring out a way to subtly extract the name and address and quirk and favorite foods and zodiac sign of Shota's daddy, which would begin the instant their friend claimed exhaustion and left. It was what friends did. They were very good friends. Pro-heroes and pro-friends, even. Anyone who made Aizawa laugh at dick jokes, even indirectly, was someone they absolutely had to meet.